And with that, number six on our agenda, legislative update, Secretary Kevin Roebling will be provided.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it was a busy legislative session. Things are wrapping up in the Capitol here. Next week, essentially, it would be their last main week of work. Things are still obviously ongoing as we speak. There is session today. We had a busy session. And first, I just want to thank the Legislative Task Force within Game Fish and Parks. That's really a couple of the guys sitting in the front row here and many, many others, but and the rest of Team GF&P. Because of the hard work of the team, I think this session has been another successful one. So I wanted to cover some of the bills that we were involved with this session to make sure the commission is up to speed and if they have any questions on any of these bills. But we did have two legislative bills that were department bills, the first being House Bill 1047. That was the bill, the renovations to Blue Dog Fish Hatchery. What this bill did, we did get this bill passed. What it did is it actually gave project approval for us, the department, and the commission to move forward with the renovation of Blue Dog Fish Hatchery. This is a five-year timeline, so this isn't something we're looking to do overnight. We will start the project this year in FY27, which would be July 1st of 26 is FY27's beginning. The project we anticipate being around $8 million, and that's over the course of again, a five-year timeline. What we're trying to do there is we're going to renovate Blue Dog Fish Hatchery, essentially look at adding some brick and mortar as well so we can place some more tanks, some RAS facility tanks, recirculating aquaculture system tanks within Blue Dog Fish Hatchery, and really retrofit the entire hatchery to accommodate this new technology. We're very excited about this. The first thing on the timeline agenda, though, is to look at our wells, how our water's coming in and what kind of water we have. We still have some high iron that we're gonna have to figure that out, and we're working on that as we speak. But the legislature was very, I would say, supportive of this concept. This did not bring any general funds to the table. There is no money involved here. It was just project approval. And budget authority was the request with the legislation. So how are you planning to pay for this is license dollars. It's going to be fishing license dollars. It's going to be DJ funds, Dingle Johnson excise tax. And then we are hoping to fundraise some money for this as well. The fundraising campaign is going to start this spring around. And so we're going to be asking for donations from our anglers. We're going to be asking donations from corporations and businesses. People in South Dakota embrace this idea of catching fish and more of them. So hopefully we can get some good support to hopefully then get this project moving even quicker along the way. One thing that you might note is we don't have a bond payment anymore for Blue Dog Fish Hatchery. We paid off the last bond last year, and that then leaves us with some additional funds of DJ to help put towards this as well. So we should have the financial equation, the financial formula figured out for this for the next 5 years, but we are going to need to raise some funds for it as well. So that is what 1047 did for the department and for the state of South Dakota. We're excited to get that RAS system up and going in Blue Dog by 2030, 2031. Somewhere in there would be the project completion date. The next bill was 1052, House Bill 1052. This is the transfer of ownership for the Hydro 2 facility in Spearfish Canyon. As many of you know and are aware, where the trail's head of Devil's Bathtub resides is actually owner property that the department owns. The Department of Game Fish and Parks owns in Spearfish Canyon, right on Spearfish Creek. Right adjacent to that parking lot of Devil's Bathtub is an old generator facility. It's called the Hydro 2 building. We replatted the property, consists of 26 acres. We also own some land on the other side of the road. We replatted the property to essentially subdivide off the 3.75 acres of land that includes the building. And the legislation essentially allows us then to transfer that 3.75 acres plus the building to the Spearfish Foundation. Now, it does take legislative action because it wasn't necessarily a public auction. We essentially transferred that land to a 501c3. And what they want to do with that land is turn that into an historical site. Essentially, this building is really a turn back in time. You walk into the building. Some of you have been in the building, I believe. You walk in the building, and it's essentially a whole bunch of old generators. It's a hydroelectric building with, you know, just amazing technology that they used, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And when they left, it's like they essentially turned the lights off and left everything else, you know, as is, as they left that day. So there's a lot of, it's a turn back in time. It's like you walk back in history, if you will. And they want to really preserve that. And we obviously aren't in the business of preserving that type of facility. So we're happy to transfer this over and take it out of the ownership of Game Fish and Parks. It just does not meet our mission. So House Bill 1052 was signed by the governor as well. So those two department bills were passed, and we're happy that we got those to move forward. Other bills that we were very supportive of was House Bill 1001. This was a prescribed fire bill on state-owned land along the Missouri River. We own 66,000 acres of Title VI land up and down the Missouri River. This used to be Corps of Engineer land. That Corps of Engineer land obviously is adjacent to the river, but also to private property. And one thing that we're seeing right now is the expansion of Eastern Red Cedar, getting on to more private property, getting onto our land. And the number one tool to essentially manage Eastern Red Cedar is fire. But to in order for the private landowners to essentially burn their private land, they need to burn our land as well with that fire when they started on the private land, because there's no better burn break than the Missouri River. So they'll essentially light that fire on the private property, let that fire burn to the river, which would include public land, state land, in this case, Game Fish and Parks land. This bill allows them to do that. It allows us to go into, you know, an agreement with them, or at least verbal permission or approval. And it takes the abilities then, it gives those private landowners, those burn associations, the abilities to legally proceed with this management of Eastern Red Cedar on their private property, and then obviously on the public land as well. So we're happy to see this one also get passed and signed by the governor. It's going to be signed next week, actually. This one just came off the Senate floor last week, I believe. So that is House Bill 1001. Another bill that was actually just in committee this morning, and Tom testified this morning, with Senate Bill 222. It's an appropriations for the riparian buffer strip initiative. This did come out of committee. This is a budget bill, actually. So this is actual money that would go towards the buffer strip initiative, the riparian buffer strip initiative. In this case, in the form of $8 million. This is a Danner RAN project, so the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. However, our staff are a big part of implementation. They actually will give landowner leads to Danner, then to essentially enroll their lands into the RBI program. So we are very, I would say, a big part of this implementation process, because it's habitat right along riparian areas. So we're excited about this bill as well. Another bill that's still out there is Senate Bill 78. They call that the G bill. That's going to be the appropriations bill for state government. That's still out there, likely will be essentially voted upon next week. And another bill that was actually amended that we were a big part of, and this does impact the commission and the department as well, is the establishment of the avian egg salvage permit. Many of you might recall there's a 501c3 named Second Chance Flight. It's out of Rosland, that area up there, Webster Country. And this is a 18-year-old girl. Her name's Madison Graham. She essentially got a federal permit to essentially, if you have a producer that runs into a duck nest, in this case, you could grab those duck nests, salvage those eggs, and then try to hatch them out to release those ducks into the wild. That does require a very hard-to-get federal permit. And she was granted that federal permit. But the statute didn't allow her to take pheasant eggs and other game birds. And now the statute does. And there is going to be then essentially the way this salvage permit is going to work is if you have a federal permit, it's essentially from the Fish and Wildlife Service. If you obtain that federal permit, you then have the abilities to collect other eggs, game bird eggs in particular, with that permit as well. So there is no commission process for this. There's no fee. There's no additional requirements. We're essentially saying that federal permit you receive from the Fish and Wildlife Service grants you the abilities to essentially collect pheasant eggs in this case, or grouse eggs, something to that extent, because that federal permit is all waterfall. So it's not just mallards, it's widgeons, it's teal, it's redheads, all the waterfall, even swans and Canada geese, that sort of thing. So that is how the bill was amended. We amended the bill to essentially take us out of it, and that is what we did. And that bill did pass both chambers. Questions on the bills that will pass? I am going to cover some bills that we were a part of. essentially, we either had the sponsor withdraw the bill before it got a hearing, or we defeated the bill in committee. And there was quite a list of those. So now I'll just read off the titles. And House Bill 1037, exemption for military members from resident fishing licenses, essentially free fishing licenses for military members, establishment of 10-year boat licensing, that was 1071. 1122 was fishing guide registration and licensing. House Bill 1156 was the extension of the waterfall season for veterans. House Bill 1158 was the establishment of an aquatic invasive species task force. House Bill 1195 was free park entrance for tribal members. Senate Bill 16, licensing of hunting and fishing guides. Senate Bill 115 was hunting of mourning doves and road right-of-ways. Senate Bill 148, terminate payments for the Nest Predator Bounty Program. Senate Bill 160 was fishing guide registration and licensing. Senate Bill 201 was drone recovery of big game animals. There was a resolution honoring Custer State Park cabin owners' property rights. So those were all the bills we were very much a part of, had conversations on with the sponsors of those bills. And then a lot of those bills we were actively engaged in those committee hearings on as well. A couple other bills that did pass that we were neutral on was Senate Bill 131, disabled veteran pheasant hunts through preserve season. Essentially what this bill does is it allows disabled veteran pheasant hunts to occur into the preserve season. Before, it was the end of the general pheasant season, or January 31st. Now these hunts can occur all the way into the end of March. That's the preserve season. So if there is a disabled veteran pheasant hunt that wants to go longer into the preserve season, that is now something they can do with Senate Bill 131. We did have four commissioner either appointments or reappointments, and I'm so happy to see a full commission body here. We have eight commissioners here today, and that's such a great sight to see. Stephanie Rissler was reappointed, and obviously we had confirmation hearings for Dean Kirkaby, Kevin Nyberg, and Chuck Spring. So yes, it was a busy session. It was a successful session. Just want to thank my staff, all the staff once again. We have a great team, and I'm very proud of the team. So thank you, Madam Chair. Back to you.
Any questions for the Secretary? I do have one, Secretary. Did we have any bills that had emergency clauses that put them into effect right away, or are they all July 1st?
We do. House Bill 1001 does have an emergency clause on it. That'll allow the burn associations up and down the Missouri River to essentially start burning this spring if conditions allow. It's a little bit dry for that at the moment, but if we do get some precipitation, that would be one that does have an emergency clause on it.
Any additional questions? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire, thank you. I realize that when I go home, my wife will take issue with Wallace not being mentioned with Madison Grimm.
I guess the area, you're correct, but it was Wallace, the birthplace of Hubert Humphrey. So anyway, and then, but thank you for staff. I know you worked with her. She reached out, you know, with those concerns, her and her father. They were really committed individuals, and it's a real passion for them. So thank you for the work in getting that established and through the process to become part of our law. So thank you.
Very good. And thank you for that update, Mr. Secretary. It's a nine weeks of grueling work, 24 hours a day. So thank you all for what you do.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.